and Psalm 19 and verse 8, right? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And when we talk about the commandment of the Lord down here, we are talking about all that the Lord charges us to do. And since the Lord, whatsoever the Lord charges us to do, is pure, then in other words, there is no error in these commandments, then all the more, right, we should strive to keep them and then to obey them. And as we receive these commandments in our heart and strive to live according to it, you realize that all these commandments that the Lord gives will bring light to our eyes. In what way? It will help us to see the sinfulness of the world, how evil and wicked this present age is. And if you know how wicked and evil this present age is, then you will shun the wicked ways of the world like plague and not to follow it. And instead, all these things will lead you to fear the Lord. And when we talk about the fear of the Lord here, it refers to how the Lord is the object of our fear. We reverence Him, we honor Him simply because of who He is. There is this deep appreciation of the greatness of our Lord and His holiness. And therefore, we would not dare to trifle with Him. And when you have this kind of fear in your heart, it will lead you to have a clean life. That's why the fear of the Lord is clean. It brings forth purity and holiness in a believer's life and conduct. And once you have this fear of the Lord, it endures forever. What it means is that it will be present in the life of a believer forever. Of course, there will be times whereby we sin against Him, but we are talking about how, when you look at the entirety of a believer's life, you will realize that the Lord is not far from the thoughts of a believer. And because the Lord is not far from the thoughts of a believer, and He knows who the Lord is, and so therefore, He will be gripped with this godly fear in His heart that will lead to obedience, and you will be able to witness it in the entirety of the believer's life. And the proof will be when nobody is looking, whether or not the believer will continue to obey God's word. And as has been mentioned recently, we pray for our children that they will truly receive the word of God, because if they truly receive the word of God as it is, then the fear of the Lord will be in their hearts. And when parents are not around, our children, our sons and our daughters, they will still conduct themselves to the praise and glory of their Father, because their fear is not you. Their fear is the Heavenly Father above. They know that they have to give an account to Him and that they cannot displease Him. And of course, what is applicable for our sons and daughters should also first be applicable to us. The real test of this camp, receiving the word of God, is not in this camp. Even in this camp, sometimes we also fail. But after this camp, all the more, the test will be great. When you go back to your workplaces, when you go back to school, when you go back to homes, will there be this consciousness inside of you whereby you know that God is always near you, watching all your work and play? if there is this consciousness, and you know that He's a holy and just God, and that His judgments, as what will be mentioned later, are true and righteous altogether, you wouldn't dare to sin against the Lord. In the past, there will obviously be no consideration of this. I am the master of my whole life. What can stop me from doing what I want? That's what the people of the world say, isn't it? That's why now in the world there is so much anxiety and anger over this thing called human rights. You know, what they mean by human rights actually means allow me to sin and do whatever I want. Allow me to be a lawless person and leave me alone. It's not really about human welfare or anything. If I take a spray can and then I paint some graffiti, right? Do some graffiti on the wall, you cannot do anything to me because it's my right to have some art on the wall. That's what you may find in some countries, and they cannot be persecuted. So recently, I read in this camp, actually, about some of these protesters who are environmentalists. They are part of the Green Movement. So they wanted to protest about all kinds of greenhouse gases that are released into the air. So they went into one particular museum, and then on some artwork, they go and destroy it. They go and paint their message on it. So now the museum is suing the environmentalists for the loss of the artwork. I mean, rightfully, they can sue. This happens in Singapore. You don't even need to talk about suing. The police would have caught them already and then make them pay their due. But of course, in these countries, it's a bit hard to get them to do. And the worst thing is, the way the article was written supports the environmental rebels. It's as though it is okay for them to do such an act in order to protest against all these greenhouse gases. Oh, what a twisted world. They have no fear of the Lord in their hearts, you see. That's why they are free to do whatever they want. And they will tell people, there is no man that can stop me, and I am sovereign. So during the COVID period, we have some sovereign people walking around. I'm sovereign. But actually, it's not new. Others, they may not say they are sovereign, but the way they conduct themselves in this world is as though they are sovereign. And that's the people of the world. But once you are a Christian, you know that you are not sovereign. That's what the fear of the Lord means. The fear of the Lord means you now know that there is this master in the entire world, and he is somebody who is overseeing all the affairs of this world, including yourself. And you better not trifle against the master. So therefore now, in this life, you will conduct yourself very carefully. Whether or not there are people looking at you, or whether they are absent. So one thing we should be very thankful for being in this camp, where all the brethren are around, is because the brethren are around, every one of us, we serve as reminders to each other, hey, you better fear the Lord, because at least there's a physical representation or some eyes looking at you. Right? So if you sin, then you will see some of your brethren looking at you, and then you stop. Because your brethren is being used by the Lord to remind you, hey, you better fear the Lord. So be very thankful for your brethren when you are about to sin, and then they look at you, and then you, okay. I don't do it. Don't be angry with them. Hey, why are you looking at me? I don't care. I want to continue to sin. Don't be angry. Thank the Lord. He has made it easier for you by sending brethren into your life. It's when your brethren are not around. For sons and daughters, your daddy and mommy is not around. For the rest of us, when we are not in church, when outside in the world, that is where it will be a real test. Whether or not we have the fear of the Lord in us. And if you truly receive the word of God and it is there, hidden in your heart, and that is really what we should actually achieve when we have the memory verse program. You know, memory verse program, memorize, 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 but actually it's not inside here. There's no point. I'm sure it's inside here. Then, this is what God says about himself. I better follow the Lord. Because when the Lord judges, will he judge as a respecter of persons? No. And that's why you have the last statement, right? The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And here the word true and righteous are purposely put together as a pair because they're really two sides of the same coin. They cannot be separated from one another. God, when he judges, is according to truth. And because it's according to truth, so therefore it is always right. And so when you look at the saints of old, when they sin against the Lord, did the Lord say, oh, just because you are a saint of God, and then I've called you to lead God's people, like for example Moses, means I will judge you by a different standard? No, he judged according to the same standard. You have sinned against me, I will judge you. When David sinned, was he judged? Yes. And just because you are a king means you can kill Uriah via a proxy? No. You will be judged. And so therefore, we better fear the Lord. But at the same time, the judgment of the Lord being true and righteous altogether is also our encouragement here in this life. Because these judgments down here are not only for believers, he also talks about how the Lord, when he judges the nations, the Gentiles, the unbelievers of this world, he will also judge them righteously and truly. In other words, the Lord will also vindicate his people, those who walk in righteousness. And one day, he will come to reclaim, right, this entire world. And so knowing that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, it also serves as our guide that when it comes to our own judgments here in this world, that it must also be true and righteous judgments. And that is where we are different from the rest of the people of the world. The rest of the people of the world, when they judge, you realize that objectivity is something that is far from their minds. And you know how hard it is to judge objectively, isn't it? People can come and then say, yes, we want to judge objectively, but like it or not, emotions, affections, relationships oftentimes come into our judgments. Is that not true? You look at how judgments are given in the workplaces. If a boss favors one particular team member that is working under him and her, or her, even though that particular team member may have done wrong, and somebody in which she does not favor may be saying something that is right, you sometimes find that this particular boss will just shut their ears and just support this person who is clearly wrong. Is that not true? It occurs far too often in the workplaces. But then you look at how Christians conduct themselves. And I believe that's how you all conduct yourselves too. Christians will strive to be very fair and objective in their judgment because that is how their Lord operates. Without respect of persons. This type of conduct can only be found in Christians. It's not something that is natural. It's something that is supernatural because the person has received God's word. And now he knows how exactly God judges things. And when he judges everything, he judges according to the word of God. And so therefore now, knowing this kind of spiritual impact in your life, the people of the world, look at how they go about their life. Biased judgments, and some of you suffer under these biased judgments. All the more when you read God's word and you realize how good God is and how God has changed you, has transformed you in the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer are you walking like the world, but now you are a new creature. Surely you must say from the depths of your heart, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I don't think we need further description concerning the word gold. Everybody should know that gold is the most precious metal that you have upon this earth. And down here, moreover, it says fine gold. So fine gold is the purest gold that you can find. And people would go and hunt for the finest gold in the world and then keep this gold because this gold bullion is of very high value. The world seeks after these things, but for us, we rather give up all these gold bullion that the world can offer just to have God's precious word. If I am to be a pauper, I would rather have God's precious word. Why? Because of the precious impact that it has on my life. Nothing can impact my life like the word of God when it is received. Do you view the word of God that way? Because this is definitely the view of David. He understood it, and so therefore, there is nothing that can get him to tear him away from the faithful reception of God's word. It all starts first with understanding of how important this impact of God's word is in your life. So if you now find yourself walking from day to day, and then you are starting to neglect your daily reading of God's word, or even if you read God's word, but you're doing it in a mechanical manner, what then is the issue? We have begun to lose sight and appreciation of the impact, the preciousness of the impact, in fact. Or perhaps we should put the priceless impact that God's word has with our life that money cannot buy. We have forgotten also how sweet that kind of impact is, isn't it? Because if you experience what is in verse 8 and verse 9, in your life, surely the walk before the Lord will be one that is most sweet, isn't it? Nothing can tear you from the Lord. Even if the entire world seems to go against you, yet because you know that you are walking in truth and the Lord is so pleased with your life, your heart is so thrilled because you have the Lord Jesus Christ, which is that Savior, that very one thing in this life that you really need. You don't need anything else. You just need the Savior. The rest of these things, they are material. They will fade away. They cannot have that spiritual priceless impact that the Word of God can have in your life. And what this will also cause you is to be very humble before the Lord. Look at the penitent spirit of David. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. See how careful David was in walking before the Lord. He humbled himself. He says, I am a great sinner. I know in my life, many times I have sinned presumptuously, willfully. And if that is the case, please help me to go back to thy word and receive it, because only God's word, only your word can cleanse me and help me to overcome this willfulness that is in me. But for David, that is not enough. You realize that he is even concerned about his secret faults. So not only those things that in which he is aware and willfully doing it, but even those things which right now, he may be ignorant and hidden from him. Yet he is so careful that in all these things, he did not want to sin against the Lord. I know that there are certain things in my life that I have not done rightly before thee, and these are my blind spots. Will you not reveal it to me also? Because even these blind spots, I may have done all these things ignorantly, but it is still taking away from your glory. It is still sin before thee. And if there is one thing that can expose all these things that are secret and reveal it to me, that I can now address these issues in my life, is your precious word. So please give me your precious word so that I may know what a great sinner I am, and then I can come to you and find cleansing in all these things. And now, having received this instruction, having received this correction, I am able to come before you now with clean hands and pure hearts to worship you. Let the many words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My lips shall now be sanctified lips. I will not say anything that will transgress against you. And as I come before you to worship, now I know that the songs that I sing will not just hit the roof and not ascend beyond it. How to prepare for the Lord's Day? It's not just the night before, whereby before we sleep, we go in prayer asking the Lord to now direct our hearts to seek Him. It's not just coming to church early and then you sit down and then during the Sinspiration, follow the Sinspiration leader and then you sing that song and then you engage in some form of prayer and then you worship the Lord. Now, all these things, of course, are important, but shouldn't be gone through mechanically. But the preparation for the Lord's Day really is an entire week of reception of God's Word, whereby having received God's Word and live in God's Word, you now approach the Lord in all purity, whereby there is every assurance in your heart, having been cleansed by God's precious word. What comes out from my mouth is truly in sincerity and in all purity. It's not just sincerity. It must be in all purity. And that when the Lord hears these words being uttered by me, these prayers being offered by me unto Him, He is very pleased to receive it. You can only worship the Lord aright if you are a faithful recipient of God's word. So therefore, dear friends, we come back to what we had from the very first message. We must receive God's word. Why? Because it is that thing which helps us to live. Without God's word, no life for us. Just like in this world, we need food and water to live. And man labors so hard to put food and water on the table. But after a while, due to prosperity, they take all these things for granted. So much so that we may even despise these things. You just look at what we have here in this camp. Very sumptuous meals, isn't it? Last night, Chinese dinner is how many course? Eight courses. Eight course dinner. And we ate. Still have leftover chicken, fried rice with all the roasted duck taken out, only left the rice. So much in abundance. And then we take all these things for granted. So when it comes to God's word, we pray it must not be the case. Now, all these things that we eat can only sustain this physical body. And after that, after one meal, we ate one sumptuous meal last night, Chinese dinner. When you get up this morning, were you hungry? Some of you may be hungry, and so therefore you needed your breakfast. After you eat your breakfast, and then you have a sumptuous breakfast, I mean, in Singapore, do you eat breakfast like this? One station of nasi lemak, one station of all various manner of bread. On the other side, you have yogurt and then coffee. You also have two choices. There's one with a capsule and the other one with grounded coffee. And then there is an egg station. And then there is a noodle station. Even in Singapore, it's not like this. And we eat, very sumptuous. But it comes to God's word, the food that we need, because it's food for our soul, we neglect. We forget that receiving God's word is actually a matter of life and death. That's the whole point. Receiving God's words is actually a matter of life and death. You first found eternal life because you received the good news of Jesus Christ, isn't it? If you had not received the good news of Jesus Christ, what would have been the end of you? You die. You really die. So we want to thank God for every one of us. We pray, especially if your profession is true, you have received God's word and you live. Because you receive, you live. But remember, when we talk about life, eternal life, we are not only talking about, oh, I get to heaven and that's it. It's God's will for us that here upon this earth, we should lead the abundant life. And that means we must be fruitful in living for the Lord. And that is what it means by receive to live. It's not just, oh, I have eternal life and then that's it. It's you want to receive it, and then here in this world, you truly live. Truly live by what? By bearing much fruit unto the Lord. Truly live as a Christian. And that's why the book of Proverbs is given to us, isn't it? A book of wisdom. First telling us where to find salvation in the Lord Jesus. After that, telling us how to live in wisdom. And the way the book of Proverbs describes is, you do all these things, and then you will live. And so when you look at the book of Deuteronomy, you realize that this is what God desires for the children of Israel. And of course, this is also God's desire for us. Right? So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, God told the children of Israel, you must receive God's word. You must receive my word. And receive my word means you must do my word. And if you do my word, means you will live. So, how do you know whether a person receives his word? A faithful reception always leads to a doing of God's word, obeying of God's word. And if you obey God's word heartily, cheerfully from the heart, you live. And so, in verse 1, God's word says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Again, all, not some, not most. A receiver of God's word must receive all of God's word. And then be very careful to do it. The word observe here is actually the word for God. And the word for God is sometimes also rendered as obey to. And why do you guard these things? Why do you observe to do all these things? Well, this word also has a sense of you guard it because it is so precious to you. Right? That's now precious impact. Since it's so precious, then you make sure you must guard it under lock and key and then live according to it. So live in this way. When you do it, you really live. And for the children of Israel, all the more, they have to take heed to this. If they fail to follow the commandments of God, they did not receive it and do it, God says, you will not get to live in this land. You will be scattered among the nations, of which you know in the end that is exactly what happened. But if they did, and that is what we want to focus on, the positive thing, what happens if you do it? Children of Israel, you will multiply. You will go in and you will possess the land, which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And while you are in this land will be a land full of milk and honey. For us Christians, if you do God's word, receive and do, oh, what blessing there will be in your life, isn't it? Oh, what joy. So do it, And then in verse 2, God's word says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to prove thee and to know thee and to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." And so the next point that God wanted the children of Israel to know is you must remember and live. You do and live, but if you don't remember, you will not be doing. So the first thing that you need to do is you must remember. That's why we are here in this camp. We are here in this camp to remember to receive God's word too. I wish Christian doesn't know that we have to receive God's word. If you tell me that you don't know that you have to receive God's word as a Christian, oh, that is a big, big problem already. You are probably not a Christian in the first place. But our problem is we forget so easily. And that's why God knows that we need so many reminders in life. Much as we think we don't need these reminders, but God still sends it because it's necessary. It's just like how parents so oftentimes remind their children, please do this, please do that. Wives reminding their husbands to do certain things. Husbands reminding their wives to do certain things. Is that not true? And sometimes after repeated reminders, we still forget. And the older you get in age, the more your memory fails, the more you forget. Even if it's an important thing. So, one day, my wife got up of bed and then she reminded me, "Dear, remember to water the plants." So after that, she went for her bath and everything. She did some chores at home. And then she had to quickly go out, right, urgently. So she says, "Dear, remember to water the plants." So she went out. On the way to the place where she ought to go, she WhatsApped me. "Dear, remember to water the plants." So after that, after a day of labor, she came back, entered the door. "Hi, dear. Dear, how are the plants? Were they watered?" Since this is about forgetting, you should know my answer. So easy to forget. So, with regards to God's word, it is also so easy to forget. And this one we forget, remember, is a matter of life and death. So that's why the Lord also have, right, give us opportunity to come to this camp, again, having one another, not just here, the preacher, but you are also given one another. That's what we want to emphasize. That's why we have the reflection questions. So that's why we have the time of makan together. It's not makan separately. Right? You all makan together for what? It's not just see each other and then share the photos. Of course, that will remind us of the pleasant times we have. But more importantly is, you are there and then just by your brethren's presence, you are now reminded of the theme of the camp. I'm here together with my brother and sister in Christ so that we together, we may receive the word of God. Every one of you is important. So those young people down here say, "Hey, I'm just here listening to God's word. Am I important?" Yeah, of course you're important. Even you being down here would remind all of us who are adults, I have to receive God's word. So this is an opportunity by God to remind us. And by that, we find spiritual refreshment. True? But another way the Lord reminds us is, well, in life, He will bring about certain circumstances in order to test us. For the children of Israel, the Lord purposely led them 40 years in the wilderness to humble them, right, so that they may know, hey, actually, I'm a very forgetful person. Right, to humble them. To prove them, in other words, to test and to try them, so that they may know their heart. Whether they will keep His commandments or no. So when you go out into the world and then you face all the troubles there, do you know that every single trial, a tribulation that you face is really God test for you whether or not you would receive His word or not and whether you remember His word. Every single one of those tests is a test of the reception of God's word. And then when you fail, and then you realize you fail, that's basically the Lord telling you, hey, see, you forget, you better remember. Like the wife coming back and say, how, the plants watered already? No, forget. So the Lord comes, hey, watered the plants already? No, forget. You failed, better remember the next time. That's why be very thankful for all these trials and tribulations that we receive. In all these trials and tribulations, it's so sometimes so difficult to even want to find joy in these things, right? That's the reality. We read the scriptures and then say, rejoice in the Lord. Always and again, I say rejoice. So hard to rejoice. It's true. Because we are but men. And when we find it so hard to rejoice, and when we find it so hard to drag ourselves off the bed in order to go to work, know that it is because there is still much for us to receive from God's word. Because if we have truly received God's word, and we have truly remembered what God's word has said in terms of what to do, or also in terms of His wonderful promises, then despite of all these trials and tribulations, yet there is this joy that is in our heart, and this joy will so grip us that we will still be so willing to get up of our bed and then go to serve the Lord at our workplaces. Therefore, when we experience these things, it's time for us to humble ourselves and say, yes, Lord, still so much room to grow. Teach me to remember to receive. I better not neglect your word. I better come to your precious word and then to read it and then to learn as much as I can from it. Lord, I repent. And then if we have this kind of heart, you know, the children of Israel, of course, they really struggle very hard. The Lord keep on sending trials and tribulations in their midst. But with this process of the training that is given by the Lord, what happened? You realize that bit by bit, the children of Israel received the word of God and began to live according to the word of God, to do and to live. And then, yes, while this generation, Or the generation that was 40 years in the wilderness, it was an immature generation, and those who were aged 20 years and above, save Caleb and Joshua, did not enter into the promised land, but not at the good fruit that came out of it. This generation here in Deuteronomy that is going to enter the promised land, were they people that remembered the word of God? Yes. And what happened? Did they live? Yes, they succeeded in conquering the promised land, and then they established a godly witness for the Lord in that land. A And so therefore, embrace these lessons in which the Lord has sent to your life. View every trial and tribulation as a ticket stamp. You know the ticket stamp? Ah, I know one girl that has. Sarah, do you have that book that day I saw that day? Do you bring down? You look at Sarah's book. Just raise it up. You have that book? You see what she has? Oh, it's a bit far for some of us with bad eyesight. You know, you look at the side there. There are a lot of stickers, right? This shows that she's reading the book diligently, and then she sticks all the stickers. And all the stickers serve as what? Ah, I've read something important here. This is a reminder, and then I better not forget what's in this part of the book. Ah, every trial and tribulation that you go through, whether or not you fail, in fact, even if you are helped by the Lord to overcome it, it's still a sticky stamp down there to tell you, remember, do not forget this lesson and continue to live according to it. And every word is important. That's why down here, God's word says, so that you may know that man does not live by bread alone, only but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. By every precious jot and tittle that God has given to us. And that is the lesson in which the children of Israel needed to learn so badly and took 40 years to learn. When they received manna from heaven, did they know that it's the Lord who gave them? They know. But was it a lesson that sunk down into their heart? No, it wasn't. They took it for granted. And that's why when they went from place to place, they grumbled, they murmured against the Lord. No food, they murmur. God gave them food, they still murmur. We need water. God gave them water, they still murmur. We now want meat. Murmuring and murmuring, complaining and complaining. Actually, all these things that the Lord did for them is to show them, even in terms of the daily provision of life, it's not by your own hands in which all these things are given to you, but it cometh from me. And in the end, when you consider the miracle of the manna, based upon what we know from the Gospels, it's supposed to finally point to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. And you need Him the most. And it is in the Lord Jesus Christ in which you should live. When we go to work, how tempting it is to think that the salary in which we receive cometh by our own hand, or it is our boss or that company which gives us that salary. And then we trust in the company to give us that salary. We trust in the boss to give us that provision. And so therefore we begin to fear men rather than God. Or we think that it's because of our own strength, ingenuity, wisdom, tactics, that we're able to get this. And because we think of this, we think of it this way, one thing that you'll find will soon happen is that you will not want to read God's word. Why do I need God's word? Because all these things come from myself. All these things come from my bosses, all these men. Ah, I serve all these bosses. I serve all these men. You forget all about God. You forget His word. No wonder the Lord had to send trials and tribulations in our life to remind us, hey, you better come back to my word. So thank God for all these things. Thank God for His chastisements. For in verse 5, God's word says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, So the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. And so therefore, the last point that the Lord wanted to tell the children of Israel and also all of us is this. Repent and live. Repent and live. When you receive all these trials and tribulations in your life, and then you suffer under it, please do not complain. When we receive rebukes, scoldings from our parents, dear young people, and it is according to God's word, please do not complain. You know, when your parents scold you, it's because you are truly the son and daughter. I mean, if you're not the son and daughter, why your parents want to scold you? No, they will not. That's why down here, one very key word is his son. Right? You look at verse 5. I should have read verse 5. As a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. It's because he has a personal relationship with you. So that's why he bothered even to send his divine sugar cane into your life. To tell you, hey, what happened to my word? Hey, what happened to my word? You better remember my word and live. You have to repent of your sin and come back to me. And so therefore, dear children, dear sons and daughters, when parents scold you, or when they give you advice, and sometimes the advice you really want to put two fingers into your ears and not hear, better don't do this. You better take down your two fingers first. You better hear very carefully. If it's according to God's word, no matter how much you don't like the advice, you better hear. And don't ever go to the extent of say, I hate my parents. There are some young people, they will say, I hate my parents. You call yourself a Christian. If you say you hate your parents, you will never learn to love your brethren. Even the one closest to you, you hate your parents. You will not learn to love your brethren. Which we already learned from the discussion questions. Can we hate one another? No, we must love one another. You hate your parents, how can? Just because what your parents try to tell you God's word? Oh, you better repent and live. No more like that. Take down. And thank the Lord for parents who love you so much because you are, just simply because you are that son and daughter which the Lord had given to them to be good stewards of. And they set their love on you. You talk about other people in this world, nobody will chasten you in the way that your parents will chasten you. Okay, you may have some friends who are concerned for you to want to come and to rebuke you, but you will realize that nobody will do it to the extent of which your parents will do. The strongest rebuke always comes from who? Always comes from the parents, right? Because of their relationship with you. And they love you. So therefore, also in extension for all of us, with regards to what is happening in our life, and if you have truly, at this point of time, experienced the chastening of the Lord, it is time for you to recognize it, and then to take it humbly and say, I repent, because what you are trying to tell me, O Lord, is I have forgotten your word. It's time for me to receive it. Just like what the children of Israel had to learn. It's so easy during times of chastisement to just simply dismiss it as a natural circumstance of life. I know of those whom the Lord has clearly chastised. They receive illness. Now, when we talk about illness, please, therefore, don't go and look at the person and say, hey, are you sick? Oh, chastisement of the Lord. No, we are not saying that. So please be very careful, okay? No. This is for the person to know. The person to examine your own heart. And sometimes illnesses can occur in life because we have sinned against the Lord. And the Lord clearly sends all these things into your life. It could be also trouble at work. It could also be trouble in ministries for us who are pastors and preachers. Sometimes we face trouble. Why? Because we ourselves, we have sinned against the Lord. And we blind ourselves to it. That's why we suffer. That's why troubles multiply. It's true in every circumstances of life. Parents, why sometimes children give you a lot of trouble? Perhaps you are also sinning against the Lord. That's why your children give you so much trouble. The Lord had to remind you, hey, what about my word? Why have you not lived according to my precious precepts? Keep the law, stay holy, you did not. And the children does not learn how to keep the law, stay holy. As a consequence, they give a lot of trouble at home. They don't love the Lord. Why? In the first place, we as parents, we do not love the Lord. So the Lord allow these to happen so that we may realize, hey, I have sinned against the Lord, better return. But if we blind ourselves to it and we just take it as, hey, my son and my daughter is naughty because they are naughty. And then you don't go beyond that. And then to firstly come before the Lord and then to pray. Could it actually be me who is the cause of all this trouble? Then the troubles will only multiply. We may face a lot of problems at work because in the first place our heart had already turned covetous. And so the Lord, in His mercy, actually had to give us this trouble so that at least we will not be so attached to our work and think that, wow, this is all that life is. To go to the work and then to deal with all these reverse tasks. This is the meaning of life. And the Lord had to remind us, hey, what is the meaning of life? Meaning of life is only in my word and in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why all these things come. So, dear friends, the chastening of the Lord, let us not despise. But instead, receive the word and you will live. Man's word or God's word? It must always be God's word. God's word is the perfect word because it is divinely inspired, it is perfectly preserved, and God took great pains to make sure that His word throughout all ages has been translated faithfully so that we today can read. And now, today, we must be so thankful that everywhere we go, we can easily read God's precious word in a language in which we can understand. We must be thankful that we have so many people who are out there that are able to teach us God's word so that we can receive. Children, sons, daughters, we have our godly parents. Those of us who are in the church, we not only have the pastors, the elders, the Sunday school teachers, but actually every one of us, we serve to also teach one another in God's precious word. And so, since there is this opportunity to receive, we must ask and receive these things. Don't be a person who failed to receive, just like the children of Israel, who were not only physically drunk, but spiritually drunk. But be like Daniel, who set his heart to receive these things and humbled his heart before the Lord in great humility. And when you do so, you will realize the great impact in which God's word will have in your life. How you will be transformed. How you will be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you want to live in this world, heartily receive God's word just like and I must heartily say, thank God for living water. Drunk. And then you will live. Receive to live. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we thank thee, O Lord, for how you have so loved thy people. And these scriptures which you have given to us, oh, how precious it is. And where we have neglected thy word, O Lord, yea, even those things which we have ought to have understand, but because we have set our hearts so apart from it, just yearning to hold on to some sin which so endears us, O Lord, we pray that you'll forgive us for such a conduct. But instead, Lord, give us a heart that is ever ready to go to thee, to sit at thy feet, and also to hear and to hide it in our hearts. And how wonderful it would be if we as thy people, we abide in these things that you have given to us in thy precious word. So Lord, lead thy people, O Lord, even as we leave this camp, very soon, the next day, we pray that we will not forget the many lessons that we have learned from thy word. Importantly, Lord, help us to abide in thy truth. And when we do so, Lord, we will grow in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to love thee with our all. So, Father, bless thy people richly. Every one of them, O Lord, is thy precious child, which you have purchased with thy precious blood. Every one of them, O Lord, you have set thy love upon them. So please watch over thy people. You know there are many cares. You know the many struggles in which they go through. Help them, O Lord, by shining thy precious word into their hearts. Let them understand all the various circumstances that they need to tackle. And we pray, Father, that as they get this light from thee in thy precious word, that they will truly live and find that it is sweeter as the days go by as they walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So hear the humble cries of thy children as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
We thank the Lord.